We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are the Patriots better off without Tom Brady? And the answer is hell no.
If guys aren't on all hitting on all cylinders, like, Tom's gonna let you know about it.
Hi, I'm Tom Brady.
I'm not going anywhere.
And it's been a blast.
Dale Arnold.
Nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be.
Rich Keefe.
Unbelievable. Well done. Great hair. Fantastic stunt. I've never seen anything like it.
Dalen Keefe with Jermaine Wiggins.
I'm going to break out the jerseys. Show them how to do it.
Ricky Snails Jones.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house, as he is every Wednesday. And he did arrive today, by the way, rocking a very sweet Joe Sakic Quebec Nordiques jersey on his own version of Jersey Day. We do it normally on Fridays here, but Wiggy's on Wednesday, so he trotted it out today. We got into a heated discussion last hour because Adam Schefter and others are reporting that there are those in the National Football League who are uncomfortable with the idea of the NFL holding its draft April 24th and 25th. Not only will they do that, but Roger Goodell sent out a memo to teams and executives and basically saying, if you disagree with it, keep it to yourself or be punished, which seemed a little harsh to, I think, all three of us here. It is still America. I think you are still allowed to disagree, to some degree anyway. There are those, yes, I'm one of them, to the caller last hour, who think it's a little tone deaf. Others in the NFL think it, by the way. That wasn't an original thought on my part. I was reporting what others have said. But apparently the previous caller says, unless you agree with his point of view, then you're just wrong.
I definitely don't think it's tone deaf. I think it gives people some hope. It gives people something to look forward to. It gives people the idea of maybe someday getting back to normal. And it's an event that can 100% take place with the social distancing guidelines that are in place across the country. Like, you could do it. Is it ideal? No. But what
it's
about
It's
going
to look weird, but that's beside the point.
Right. Don't care.
I think we're past that point of how things look, right?
Right. And the last 2 weeks have not been normal. The next two won't be normal. And on down the line for a while will not be normal. But the NFL draft can 100% take place. And I think one of the reasons that people are upset about it is it's these GMs that are like, well, or GMs and scouts who, oh, man, like, I really needed to go to that Oklahoma State Pro Day. And you're like, okay, guess what? This year, you don't have it.
Right.
You don't have the Pro Day, but you had the Combine. You had the Senior Bowl. You had 3 or 4 years of college football film to look at. So did you get to go
Nobody has 4 years of college film anymore, do they?
Sure. Yeah.
Not that many. But, yeah, I'm being a smart aleck. It seems like everybody leaves early.
Okay, but like, you know, you're going to Tennessee to clock a guy's 40 time or something. You don't have that. Sorry, but guess what? Neither do the other scouts, neither do the other GMs.
And you're not getting that back, getting it, even if you do push the draft further back. You're still
And that's the other thing, is like, you're still going to be, you're not going to have those face-to-face meetings that you might have had before. But guess what?
But you don't
call
need
them
that.
On the FaceTime. Yeah. Call them on the phone and try to, you know, interview those guys that way. And again, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's different for everybody.
A scout can evaluate a player, you know, with never having to meet that player, right? When you really think about it, the only thing they have to meet him for is to see, you know, what his 40 time really is. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, even, you know, other than that, what else do you have to meet?
Well,
the
don't
guy?
You think most scouts or most GMs would prefer a face-to-face conversation
first? But if you couldn't, right? You could still kind of do the same thing. You could do everything except for, you know, some of the in-person workouts. But you should be able to watch the guy's film to know what type of football
player. Because I would even argue, you know, the last 5 years, the Patriots have had the ability to go to pro days and have face-to-face meetings. Mm-hmm. And how did those drafts turn out? So I can't imagine that this one would be a whole lot worse. And I think it would be embarrassing if they used it as an excuse. If later on, had we had a chance to interview this guy, we wouldn't have taken him. It's like, no.
Yeah, I don't picture the Patriots saying that. Because
other
you're
teams,
right,
maybe.
It would sound ridiculous. But I could see some GMs, you know, as some GMs getting fired 5 years from now saying, well, let's be honest, that draft back in 2020 really was the beginning of the end for me, and it wasn't my fault.
And it'd be a terrible excuse, too.
And, Rich, you brought this up, which, you know, also was another good point that you made.
Thank you.
And they brought this up a while ago. As you said now, okay, the scouts and the GMs and these guys that are really doing the talent evaluators really have to be able to evaluate these guys based on what they did on the football field, right? And not their measurables. And we'll get back
to probably more what it should be.
Should get back to the all of a sudden now a guy, he's not on anybody's draft board. He goes out there and runs a 4.3. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Wait a second. All the film you got on him, if he wasn't on your draft board because of the film, just because he runs a 4.3 now all of a sudden?
Because I could see there being much more of a uproar amongst GMs if this all happened earlier, and the college football season was cut in half.
Right.
You know, like the NCAA tournament, like the basketball tournament, like that season wasn't completed, and there was no combine.
Right.
There was
this year, the NBA draft is going to be greatly affected by the fact that there was no March Madness.
100%. No March Madness. Now, they also do a combine. It's not nearly as
But they played enough games, though. Don't you think they played enough games?
I think they probably have. There are times, I mean, I think the NBA one's a little bit different. It's also only two rounds.
Right.
The top guys are it's almost
based out of
high school.
And then after five, right, it's really just the roll of the dice.
But they're also in a weird spot, too, because are they going to finish the season? They got to figure out what the draft order is. Mm-hmm. Like, so much for them is up in the air. Whereas the NFL, you had a full college football season.
Right.
You had the combine. We've had the draft order now for months.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the date sitting here in April. And even though it's going to be really weird, and it's going to be different, but that's kind of the hand everybody's been dealt. So I for one, don't have a problem with them holding the draft, and I'm actually really looking forward to it.
The NHL draft, like the NBA draft, will be greatly affected by the fact that, you know, all of junior hockey's been shut down, international hockey's been shut down, no Memorial Cup. You know, you won't be able to watch these guys like the NCAA March Madness.
Right.
You're going to be making some incomplete decisions on 18-year-old kids to begin with in the NHL. So those two drafts probably will be pretty greatly affected. The NFL draft, you're right. How much change would there be to some guy based on a pro day workout?
Right.
And that's it.
And the ones that get affected the most, and it's not a huge number, it's the high school kids that missed out on their senior year that might have said, okay, if I have a really good season, senior season, that could, like a lacrosse player or maybe even a baseball player, that could help me then get recruited. Those are the kids that are going to suffer.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and it's not something we'll cover a lot on this show, but in like 3 years, if there's a huge boom in transfers, like kids that weren't recruited that heavily because their high school season got interrupted, and then they end up going from like D3 to D1 or D2 to D1 or things like that.
You're
going to
see a lot of PG kids. A lot of kids.
Oh, maybe do another year of high school.
You'll see another kids do, because those are, you know, And I don't know the exact recruiting process for, you know, some of these spring sports, whether it's softball.
I think spring sports, you really got to show up as a junior.
But you still, there are a lot of, just like in football, there are a lot of players that all of a sudden make a name for themselves.
Right.
Think about this. Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick.
Right, and if it was based only on his junior year, he wouldn't have been.
If he wouldn't have had his senior year, for example, because of the, you know, if week two the corona hits and he doesn't get his senior season, now.
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about him.
So I think there are kids in high school. I don't really know as far as, maybe it might affect some of those baseball players in college that could use that and say, hey, if I have a really good senior season, which it probably affects them,
yeah.
You know, maybe they get drafted a little bit higher in baseball.
Yeah, that's all thrown off.
Everybody's wondering what the first sporting event is going to be when we get to the other side of this, and I'm going to set wrestling aside.
Yeah,
that's sports entertainment.
They haven't stopped.
Yeah, that's sports entertainment. What's going to be the first sporting event? there is a thought now, and we mentioned this a week or so ago, that many people think that what you may see first is golf because, you know, it's easier to social distance. You can keep the guys apart. And apparently, it may actually be a charity golf event. You'll remember Thanksgiving week 2 years ago, it was Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson who had that that Thanksgiving week match, winner-take-all type thing. Mickelson won $9 million when he beat Woods on the 22nd hole. Well, apparently, they're going to do this again, but according to reports, they're going to add two golfers into the mix. It's going to be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, who will join Woods and Mickelson for a two-on-two match. The only way this would work and not be a gigantic public relations nightmare is that this is going to be a charity event. They don't know the charities yet. It's going to be organized by Warner Media, AT&T, and the PGA Tour. It will air on TNT or something like that. If this was, you know, Phil Mickelson with a chance to make $9 million, they wouldn't dare put this thing on.
No, this isn't that. And I believe there is a tie-in with coronavirus relief
efforts. Well, that's good. So, they can do it in the Caribbean where
apparently they're all set. I mean, I guess it's something to watch. This doesn't really
it doesn't do anything
bring
for me
in, but it's...
But people will watch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because there's nothing else.
Right, yeah.
People 100%. Never,
I would love to see the numbers for what the draft is going to do as far as viewers.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be huge.
It'll do real well.
Because the thing that I'm hearing, and I don't know whether it's a benefit, because, you know, the other thing we talked about, you know, especially you and I, Rich, we're big movie guys.
Yeah.
But I think, like, movies that are coming out straight to, you know, that would be in the theater but are now coming out, it almost seems like they're doing even better because of the fact that there's, you know...
What else are people doing? They're all at home.
There's
they're
not
all
a bunch of... You know, like, I watched Bloodshot, and I know Vin Diesel's on social media talking about how many people have watched
it already.
Because think about it, you're not really going up against a huge amount of movies in an opening weekend, and so it would be like the same with the draft. It'd be the same with this Tiger Woods thing. A ton of people are going to be watching it.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever the first sporting event is, if it's
what do you think it is?
I think
basketball. Golf makes the more sense.
Yeah, that's true. Now, like as far as the major sports, I don't think like one would jump at. Like, don't you think it's all or nothing?
I think it's basketball.
Or do you think if basketball came back, wouldn't the NHL also come back or no?
We talked to we talked to Tuukka Rask on the Greg Hill show yesterday.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned about maybe ice conditions in like July and August.
Conditions at the TD Garden are bad in January.
Right.
You can imagine what they'll be like in August.
Which I didn't really know because, you know, as an avid men's beer league, I play in the summertime.
Yeah, how's the sheet?
It's not bad.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? It could get a little foggy at times.
Yeah.
But maybe if they say, okay, you're able to start playing in July and August, is the weather too much of an issue for hockey?
See, I think baseball could do it, and even if they did it without crowds, which some of the teams kind of play without crowds anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But with the exception of like the catcher, ump, and the hitter, everybody's pretty far apart in baseball too. Like you could probably try to get some games in,
but I think you'll get fans if you're coming back in, you know, mid June, which basketball's talking about mid June somewhere around there. I think they'll be coming back with the ability to have fans in the arena. Same with baseball.
I just wonder if, like, you look at the map when they show you the map of like where people are testing positive the most. Like, could the Knicks have fans, or like could you play where like the Knicks and Nets are playing with no fans, but then like. I don't know. Like the Bucks or somebody are playing with fans. Like,
Salt Lake City or something.
Yeah, like they might be allowed to, which I think would be odd. It'd be an unfair advantage.
There's been some stuff out now like where everybody's like saying when they're going to peak, right? You see like each state is going to peak. Yeah. And I don't know what New York is. I know they're talking about for Massachusetts. It's like the 4th,
right?
You know, like the 14th.
Yeah.
So if you peak, you know, who knows when New York's supposed to peak, right? So, you know, if they say they peak at the beginning of May, now maybe they're just a little bit behind everybody else by the time mid-June or July 1st comes rolling around.
We've just had a sporting event that was scheduled from the 29th of June to July 12th get canceled. For the first time ever, Wimbledon has been canceled.
Wimbledon, which is odd, isn't it? I mean, again, with the crowd, I would say you could separate the two, but I mean, tennis is sort of similar to golf in a sense.
It's also
where,
June 29th right. to July 12th, yeah. and they're saying, nope, we're not going to be ready then.
The Olympics is even after right? It was July to August.
But don't you think some of those are going, you know what, just to be on, let's say, the safe side, we're just going to cancel those? Especially maybe
because Wimbledon, you're bringing in tennis players from all over the world.
Could be.
And maybe that's part of the problem, too, where you're just like, all right, now we've got all these people flying into London. And
right.
I don't know.
Maybe because it's such a world event, maybe it's a little bit more difficult for traveling and all that other stuff where they just say, you know what, we're just going to push this thing back.
And I have a feeling England is just beginning. It's going to be much, much worse there. They were really late in getting started and abatement and mitigation procedures, so it's probably going to get much worse there. Scott's on the cell phone. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm well. So, yeah, football's kind of in a predicament with what they got going on with the draft. But if you got good scouts, you've already been watching the people that you've been wanting to get anyway. It's those one or two stragglers or those fillers that, you're going to lose out and see where they are. I mean, same thing for baseball's all set for now for the most part. They just need good weather to go out there and play. Basketball's in the same spot that with no March Madness. You don't know who or what these kids are going to do. But again, if you know what you've been looking at and who you want, you've been watching those players all along. So in that regard, it's not really going to hurt matters. It's just going to delay matters. And I think the NFL draft should go off. It is giving normalcy.
Oh, it's They're going to. It's happening. Yep.
I agree that it should. I mean, the hockey draft should go off as well, too. Again,
they've already postponed that. That's already been postponed. The NHL's already said we're not doing that when we were going to.
Well, I think the NBA and the NHL are postponing their drafts because they don't even have the draft order yet. So they're they're in a different spot. Right. I don't think it's necessarily them worried about optics as much as, we don't even know. Like, the talent that we're scouting, that got interrupted, and then who's picking first? Like, we don't even know how to do all that.
Or if they do, and I saw, I think it was might have been on ESPN where I saw that Mark Cuban was talking about maybe coming back and having a 5 to 7 game regular season. That would then change the draft order. So
yes, then you'd have to postpone anyway. You're not going to hold the NBA draft is always after the NBA finals.
Right.
So the NBA finals are going off in September. Well, then the draft is going to go off.
And
in
wouldn't
September
that be for the
October.
Same with the NHL if they came back and said, "All right, we'll have a 5 to 7 game"? That would definitely change the draft order.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom Brady week continues. A little over an hour from now, we'll talk with one of Jermaine's former teammate of Tom Brady's as well. Ty Law is going to join us at 12:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kyle and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
So we mentioned it's Tom Brady week all week long here on Sports Radio. There have been some great guests throughout the course of the week. Every show has a special guest. Today at 12:30, Ty Law will join us to talk about Brady and his remembrances. Kevin Falk will join us on tomorrow's program. I was very interested to hear today's guest on the Greg Hill Show. Did you guys hear Wes Welker when he was on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was great.
He was very forthcoming. I guess it's easy now. You're no longer under the thumb of Belichick. And in fact, he's an assistant coach in the National Football League. But he shared some stuff. Let's start with a couple of things here. And I think it was Greg who asked whether he was actually relieved when he was free of being under the thumb of Bill Belichick.
Maybe a little bit, you know. I was still upset about it, you know. I did want to be there, but there was part of me that I just like enjoying the game. I enjoy having fun. I enjoy all those things. And, you know, coaching now, you learn a lot from the tactics and different things like that. But at the same time, putting your own twist on it and understanding, you know, I tell my guys all the time, as long as we're giving great effort and we're on top of our assignments, like, we're going to be good. Like, as soon as one of those things is not where it needs to be, like, that's when we got problems. And so, kind of being there and you know, there's a big mental aspect to the game of, yes, being prepared, being this, being that, all those different things, but also enjoying yourself and having fun playing the game. You know, I feel like you're playing your best ball when everybody's having fun and enjoying themselves.
Doesn't it feel, as you listen to the answer, that there's a difference between fun playing the game? Well, I mean, when you play the game is the game. It's probably a blast. And fun when you're not actually on the field during the game itself, where he seemed to chafe at a lot of the Belichick restrictions when he was a player here as well. We all remember the famous foot press conference thing.
Well, it definitely seems like, on the one hand, he wanted to be here, right? So it obviously wasn't miserable. It clearly wasn't miserable, but was
led
it
the
fun?
NFL in receptions during the time that he was here.
I think what a lot of people miss, because unless you played for Belichick, you'll never really understand when you hear guys go, say, hey, the fun. The way, you know, the easiest way that I would kind of say, you know, try to compare Bill and how he runs the program and how he runs it, it's kind of like a drill sergeant, right?
Doesn't sound fun.
Right, but it's about making sure you're prepared, making sure you need to take care of business. You're not here necessarily for the kind of, you know, fun and games of, I want to come out and maybe I'm wearing a different jersey, I'm acting the fool at practice. There are like moments for that, and those moments are far and few between.
Is part of it too, like, there's 53 different guys on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys could all go through the same season. Let's say it's a winning season, but the way Belichick coaches certain guys, they might look at it as, well, this isn't fun. I feel like he's riding me. Just like,
everybody.
But that's the point. Some players respond to a coach screaming at them.
Right.
Some don't. What? Some are okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not every player wants to be coached the same. So that's why if you asked every player on their way out the door, hey, did you have fun this year? You're not going to get one answer.
No, exactly. But I think the biggest thing is when you look at it, it's the way that he runs it. And like I said, I've never been in the military. The closest I've come to that is Call of Duty, Warzone.
Yeah. And 0-1 with the Patriots.
Yeah. But you know, just from hearing people that might have been in the military and they talk about how drill sergeants are, you know, very meticulous. They stay on top of you. That's just kind of the element. Now, maybe every drill sergeant is different. There might be guys that are looser than others, where I think that's what a lot of players mean. The fun comes. They ultimately know the real fun is, I want to be here because
you want to win.
I want to win. And when you win a Super Bowl, there's no more fun than that. But just some of the stuff. Like, we heard Gronk say, like, just some of the
Gronk
stuff.
Gronk said it. Danny Amendola said
some
it.
Of the
a
stuff
lot of these guys
through,
have moved
you know,
on
you like
said
to,
that.
You know, some guys like to go out there and they, you know, like to dress a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no thigh pads in. It's like, come on, right. Really? We're tripping about my thigh pads.
Well, I think guys, and you could tell too, and again, why Brady, it's just so amazing that he was with Belichick for 20 years. You know, Welker was with him for 6. Gronk was with him for, what, 9? Yep. So, like, these guys have had different run. Like, Chris Long was here for 1 year.
Right.
And I feel like he probably didn't think it was the best time. Thrilled that they won, obviously. Right. You have that. But he was pretty quick to get out the door.
Right.
Like, supposedly, Vrabel used to, you know, quote unquote, have fun. He would rag on Belichick. You know, he would he would bring out, you know, like a Giants helmet and you know, pretend that LT was out there.
Right.
Like, he would do stuff and apparently could get away with it. Maybe Welker just couldn't get away with it.
I don't know. He got, like, even Bill, like, he would do stuff, but even that stuff would kind of get, like, on Bill's kind of nerve.
With Vrabel, you mean?
Yeah. It's just, you know, and that's how Vrabel is. Vrabel's likes a joke, so he likes to have a good time. He likes to have some fun with it. But there are some guys, and Bill's one of those guys. He's kind of that old school mentality. He's come up in that world of, you know, hey, you know, don't celebrate, don't do this. You know, it's don't shine the light on yourself or some of those things. And I think a lot of players just are like, you know, and even Welker talked about it, him as a coach now, where, hey, as long as you're, you know, giving it all you got and you know your assignment.
But I also think it comes down to Belichick having the coach and sort of the GM title, where you might be fine with how he's coaching. Maybe you're not, but let's just say you are. But then you want like a 3-year deal and he's not giving it to you. So, like, how can you really separate the two? And I think part of the stuff with Welker was not only did he crack down on the foot joke thing, but he also franchised him 1 year and was thinking that he was going to sign him to an extension, and Welker didn't. So I think there was bad blood there, which had nothing to do with on the field performance, but it was just more the business side of it.
But I don't know if you guys know this. I mean, this is a little behind the curtain, you know. It's all about the money at the end of the day. And that's what it comes down to.
Well, our guest in less than an hour, Ty Law, has a relationship with Bill Belichick, which right after it was over, well, at least as a player, was kind of
you can
salty.
Deal with him. You can deal with him as a coach. You can deal with all the stuff he goes through as long as, hey, guess what? And then Wes Welker said it. If you paid me, I could deal with maybe not being able to have as much fun as some other organizations. I'm now, getting paid good and we're winning.
I've heard Belichick speak about this, and you played for him, so you'd be able to answer better than anybody else here. I've heard him say, you know, you make a good play, you make a big play, you're supposed to celebrate. I've heard him say this. You should be happy. You should celebrate. I think the difference is
how you celebrate.
Exactly. He thinks that there are things, you know, obviously you don't ever mock an opposing player.
No.
You know, they're just, he wants you to celebrate. He wants you to be happy. He just wants some guidelines on it.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want you breakdancing in the end zone. But he does want you, and you celebrating with your teammates.
No, but we asked him, what was the one, was it a Gronk one? I remember, we asked him about one of the celebrations, and he actually was okay with that one then.
Yeah, he's not too bad with that. Yeah. I mean, he just doesn't want you going overboard. I think that's kind of the thing that you're when you're talking about some of the stuff that, you know, having fun. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the way players operate, generally they run into problems, and I think they butt heads with Bill more because of what their worth is.
If Brady... you know, airmails a throw on 3rd and 7. You know, the next day in the film room, how do you think Belichick would respond to it versus Bruce Arians would respond to it?
Oh, it's
Bruce Arians might not even show it.
Yeah,
he might just be like, well,
I don't want to embarrass the guy.
Yeah, next play, whatever. Yeah, you made up for it down the road. Whereas every Belichick would probably go over it and over it and over it.
And this is what Bill's notorious for. Every play will tell you about this. They're called Monday morning meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guys playing games and after the game or on the sideline, on a bench, during the game, they'll have conversations. You think I'm going to be on the film for that play? And that's because
he will.
Monday morning, and he shuts the lights, and there's about 30 plays that he's putting up.
Basically the 30 worst plays?
Yes.
Essentially, like individual like missed assignments.
Missed assignments, whatever it might be. And he's pointing out every single player. Nobody's off limits. And he's going to you. And he's kind of making you look like, you know, kind of stupid for doing it.
Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end.
Let's be honest. When we heard it, I mean, as a talk show host, I thought the whole foot fetish press conference thing by Welker was hilarious. Mm-hmm. It was done.
Oh, my God, it was.
But I can also see from Bill Belichick's point of view, you ain't doing that. I mean, I can see where Belichick, the coach and general manager who's got a coach against that guy, right, isn't allowing you to take that
shot. Well, because then in the Monday morning meeting, if, say, Welker runs the wrong route, God damn it, huh? If you weren't talking all those foot jokes, right, maybe you knew it and knew where to be, Welker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one where, because Belichick, he's going to find any kind of bulletin board material for his guys.
Right.
So if you guys start giving them out to other teams, then it's like, forget it. That's like, well, the worst thing you can do.
Well, especially when he specifically said, apparently, where he specifically said, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Welker did it anyway. I mean, any father knows what this is like. Well, your daughter's a little young, Rich. But
yeah,
trust us, those of us who have kids who are a little older, when you specifically tell your kids not to do something and they do it anyway.
Yeah, worse.
Oh, it's much worse.
Bill's, you know what Bill is? Bill's the dad that if you had the father and you were an athlete or you played any sports or you did anything, you didn't have to, you could took guitar lessons.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dad that when he's always pointing out what you didn't do right. You know, you walk off the game, you just won.
Like, I think I did pretty well.
You just won. You scored 4 touchdowns. You had the best game of your career. And you go, and you walk off, and he'll go, what happened on that one play? Completely
yeah,
missed the block.
Yeah, you missed that.
And it's like, what?
Dad? Like, what? We just won the whole thing.
Yeah, and I scored 4 touchdowns. And that's how his Monday morning meetings are, is he's pointing out the bad. And you're thinking, did I make the Monday morning highlight tape of bad plays?
All right, let's give you one more from Welker this morning. When he talks about the overtime game between the Patriots and the Denver Broncos with his own Brady story.
You know, I remember we had a play against Denver where we're in overtime, and I kind of had like, we call it a Ram type route or whatever. The Rams kind of ran out quite a bit, but the safety dove. And I was trying to score on the play, so I took it more vertical because the safety wasn't there. And Tom threw it, and it hit me in the back of my foot. And he just yelled at me. I'm like, I'm trying to end the game. And, like, I had to go sit on the other side. Like, I was like, I can't take this right now. And so, anyways, then we come back the next day, and he's like, okay, babe, what I was thinking on this? And I'm like, you're calling me babe now? Like, I want to fight you. Like, you know, so, you know, we had plenty of those instances of, you know, us being on the same page. You know, I still feel like I was right on the play. You know, I guarantee he probably still feels that he was right.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
But he's the guy with the ball, so he's right.
Right.
Yeah, well,
oh, exactly.
And that's because of Tom's emotion, right? Uh-huh. He's very emotional as a player. We've seen this throughout his career. And, you know, the more and more he's kind of grown as a player every year. He puts a lot on you as a player, the same way he puts a lot on himself.
That was the game they lost to McDaniels. Mm-hmm. And the Broncos went 5-0. The Patriots went to 3-2. Welker had a pretty good game, 8 for 86 and a touchdown, but obviously didn't have that one in overtime.
As a receiver and a quarterback, it's always, I ran a great route, you made a bad pass. And the quarterback's, you should have sat here.
Uh-huh.
Why'd you go there? But Tom's emotion, you know, because he's such a fiery person, is, you know what, he'll balk at you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to take it.
Would he ever on the sideline say, listen, Wiggy, I'm sorry, I screwed that up? Did he ever do that?
Well, he wasn't balking like that when he
was... 0-1, right? He must have been a lot different than 0-9.
The emotion was
right,
there.
Right.
But, you know, he wasn't really balking like that. But I'm thinking on the field, he's probably not, because until he sees the film, that's when you're really going to know. That's when the coaches go, oh, that was my bad. You know, because when they see the film, they're able to see where what you saw, and he probably doesn't see that until he sees the film. That's why Welker said he comes up to him the next day.
Just from watching it, I feel like the early days, he might get fired up at himself on the sideline.
Right,
but then
right.
as it, like, do you ever remember him yelling at Charlie Weiss the way that he yelled at Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels?
I don't.
No,
I definitely don't. So I think it was probably more of a, well, wait a minute. I have 3 Super Bowls. I have an MVP.
Right.
I have like an undefeated regular season. Yeah, I'm gonna start saying how I feel a little bit more.
Well, think about this. Early in his career, right, you always play the clip. You know, John's always playing the clip of when I dropped the pass in the Oakland game, right? He loves that clip.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not many clips.
No, there's nothing
other.
Else in the system.
Yes, that was the only one.
I don't think he has any in the world, right?
Probably the only drop.
So I remember that it was a screen pass that I ended up dropping, right? And I remember I get to the sidelines, and I'm throwing my helmet, and I'm, you know, MFing, you know, myself up and down. And he comes over to me and says, hey, relax. We're going to need you. right? So that's kind of
good stuff, right?
That's kind of how he was, you know, early in his career,
right? Later on, maybe not so much.
Well, maybe
I'm sure he did. I'm sure
he probably still did that. But you know, if you maybe ran a wrong route, it might have been like, hey, listen, you know, what did you see? That kind of thing. Whereas as he evolves as a player and he starts studying, because we used to have 6 o'clock meetings with him before practice, before he even met with team meetings. So he's like, listen, I'm putting this work in. You should be knowing what's going on. There's just as good as I know, because we meet every morning about what I'm seeing so we can all be on the same page.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get some more Tom Brady stories at the bottom of the next hour. Ty Law joins us during Brady Week. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Dale and Keith with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
So we know based on past history that Howard Stern is a friend of the Kraft family, maybe even more specifically Jonathan, but, you know, I've actually seen him photographed with Robert Kraft as well. In fact, when David Portnoy published the pictures of Tom Brady's infant son naked on a beach, and he went on the Howard Stern show in the aftermath of that, and Stern just eviscerated him. So we know that Stern has always had kind of a soft spot in his heart for the Patriots and the Kraft family. But apparently, next Wednesday, April 8th, Tom Brady's going on the Howard Stern show.
Oh, wow. How about that? Well, he's got some time.
Now, I guess the question is, will we hear a different Tom Brady now that, to use Wes Welker's, you know, way of looking at this, that he's out from underneath the Belichick thumb? Will it be Tom Brady unleashed when he appears on Howard Stern next week?
No.
No chance.
It'll be what you heard from the press conference.
Yeah, the press conference. And I think
the conference call.
Like, he has started to speak out a little bit more in the sense of, you know, the whole Tom versus Time documentary. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be more of that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I think he'll also be pitching his you know, have a positive attitude, eat right, drink right, that,
you know,
kind of
how
thing.
How we're going to get through the coronavirus, that kind of
but
stuff.
But he won't say a single negative thing about New England.
Because Howard will go, you know, I listened to the Howard Stern show.
Howard's a great interviewer.
Yeah, and he'll go, listen, you know, he might say something to him, you know, Tom, why would they let you go? You put in all that time, you know.
Okay, he'll lead him down that way.
Yeah, but Tom will just basically be like, listen, you
There'll
know.
A lot of cliches and
stuff
like that.
Although I almost wonder, though, because as I said, he has famously been friendly with the Kraft family and the Patriots in general. I almost wonder if even Howard Stern will not necessarily lead Brady into a position where he embarrasses the Patriots.
But I just don't think Brady has that in him.
No. Like,
even if he's thinking it, I don't think he would say it.
And Howard does have a really good relationship with the Patriots, because one of the guys that they're always on the show is Richard Christie, who's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan, went to the Super Bowl this year, and Howard got him tickets. But then Jonathan Kraft upgraded his tickets to nicer seats, because I guess Jonathan Kraft's a big listener to the Stern show.
Oh, funny.
So you know, so there is that relationship there, and maybe, you know, Howard might think
that'll
about
be good,
that.
Though. I mean, that'll be really good, because, you know, just to hear him do an interview, you know, a national interview outside of Scratchy. You know, to hear Howard Stern sit down with him. If you're going to get anything out of him, like, I guess the point would be like,
maybe this is the place where you'll get it.
This is probably it, right? I mean, I know Howard's maybe not the same as he was, but he's still, as far as an interview is concerned, like, he can get stuff out of people that when they go to sit down, they're probably not thinking they're going to share something, and then they do because of the way Howard does it.
And I'm not being a smart aleck when I ask this, because we always wonder these things. I wonder what's in it for Tom. Like, and I always put myself in his position. You know, is this an opportunity to sell TB12 to a national audience? Or
Of course.
That's my guess.
Well, it's a whole nother fan base that maybe, you know, you think about Howard Stern has his own fan base, and it will really be like what we've seen Tom doing on social media.
Yeah.
Just, you know, healthy living and another way for him to promote the whole TB12
method.
Just
a huge audience and a little, maybe a little bit different. Obviously, there's some overlap, but but some other people, too, getting a chance to hear from him.
I just found it interesting. Yeah. They announced it today, and the initial thought was, oh, it's an April Fool's joke on the Howard Stern show.
Oh.
But Jimmy Traynor from Sports Illustrated said, nope, it's the real deal. He's
so
going
next,
on next Wednesday.
That's pretty
Wednesday.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Oh, yeah, listen.
A week from today, and maybe he'll just spill everything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Why Butler didn't play, how he really feels about Belichick.
If his dad's not spilling anything, remember his dad did that? He did like a podcast like that.
Yeah.
You know, and usually his dad
was very respectful.
Yeah,
wasn't
usually
he?
The dad is the one coming out shooting, you know, guns ablazing. I think they're at the point where, you know, hey.
I think he'll definitely make news, though. And I say that because every Tom Brady interview makes news.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
every
yeah.
single one. The ones here would always make news. And again, you could make them into a bigger story than they really were or not. But there'll be a couple of big headlines taken away from next Wednesday.
This will, you think about, you know, football this year, right? Tom Brady's going to be the biggest story every single week. Mm-hmm. You know,
Monday night game or the Monday night game that week.
Oh yeah, they'll be.
It won't be Thursday because you know they've got Kansas City
Chiefs.
Gets the Thursday game,
but that'll be the Bucks. What's the most prime time you can have? Is it 5 or 6? Like the Patriots always have.
I forget
that.
What the number is,
but that's what the Bucks will be. They'll have Monday night, maybe once or twice. Sunday night, probably twice.
Yep.
Obviously, everybody plays Thursday. And then not only that, but Fox, because they have most of the NFC games, they're going to be fighting over the 4:25 time slot that used to like always be the Cowboys. You're going to get a ton of Buccaneers games there. I mean, think about they play Drew Brees twice. Like, those are easily marketable primetime games.
Don't they play
Kansas City?
Yeah,
they actually
play Kansas City. Oh, Green Bay is definitely going to be
one.
Yeah,
so those will all be monster primetime games.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Bucks in primetime in forever. Outside of Thursday. I'm not counting Thursday because everybody plays there.
Yeah,
everybody
gets
that one.
When you look
but
at
Mondays
the schedule,
Sundays,
you're definitely going to get the two New Orleans games. You're definitely going to probably get Green Bay. You're definitely going to get Kansas City.
Yeah, so that's already four, and then they can come up with another one.
Yeah, and then maybe it might be like just looking at their schedule.
Ryan and the Falcons.
Yeah, Matt Ryan might be an interesting game.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, and Rich has mentioned during trending, the award-winning trending now.
Yeah, they've been good.
On a couple of occasions, as he's mentioned. Chris Godwin did give up number 12. Not that anybody is surprised by this. We knew he wasn't going to be allowed to keep it. If he hadn't given it up, the team would have taken it away from him. Tom Brady was going to wear number 12 anyway. But Godwin will go to number 14.
For free.
We don't know. We think so.
Well, yeah, that's what's being reported right now.
Yeah, now with
is
the
that,
reporters out
free.
There.
There's a whole list here of NFL players who will pay or do anything for their favorite number. There's like a whole story written by John Breach, and there's just a whole bunch of guys talking about what happened. So with the Redskins, remember when Clinton Portis got traded to the Redskins from the Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
So it was Clinton Portis, and you want to take a stab at this guy's name? Ifeanyi Olete? Is that right? Am I getting the
Sounds
thumbs up in the
me.
Back? So here's the quick story of it. What happens if you offer someone $40,000 for their number and they don't give it up? They take you to court. That almost happened in 2004 with Portis and Olete. Mm-hmm. After signing with the Redskins, Portis wanted number 26, so he offered $40,000 for the number. Olete accepted the deal, mainly because no one in the world would turn it down, and Portis promptly paid $20,000 up front. The two players agreed the rest of the money would be paid by Christmas. A funny thing happened, though. That player, Olete,
got cut.
Yep. So because he was no longer on the
team. Clinton Portis has got to be a man of his word.
Well, let's see what happens. Because he was no longer on the team, Portis didn't believe he was under any obligation to pay him because why pay someone when it's not even their number anymore?
Except it was their number when they gave it to you.
Correct. So Olete had one thing going in his favor, a written contract with the terms of the deal.
Write it down. Good job, Olete.
The two sides were about to go to court, but the day before the case was set to start, Portis decided to pay
drop that bag on him.
$18,000.
Okay.
So Olette got the $18,000 from the settlement and the $20,000 from, so he ended up being a $38,000. So he saved $2,000.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that with Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, hey, listen, Tom, just, I know you can't come in because of the corona.
Yep.
Just drop a bag of cash at my front door. Number's yours.
How about this one? Darrell Revis goes to the Buccaneers and wanted to wear number 24.
Okay.
And Mark Barron was wearing it. So the story says the biggest winner in the trade that sent Darrell Revis from New York to Tampa wasn't the Jets, wasn't the Bucs, it was Mark Barron. He says, sure, the Jets get a first-round pick out of the deal, but Barron got $50,000. Mm. And personally, blah, 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 goes on to say. So $50,000 is what he paid straight up for it. No going to court.
Nope.
Barron didn't get cut. He just switched numbers.
That's why I think $75,000 would have been a good number.
So yeah. Another guy who apparently doesn't pay his debts, he's not a Lannister, is Plaxico Burress, who said that he would pay Jeff Fiegel's Plaxico Burress, he said he would pay Jeff Fiegel's for a new kitchen. He would pay for a new kitchen, and then never paid.
Hmm. Nah, see, straight
you
cash,
gotta
man.
You gotta
Fiegel got to know better than that, man. Just give me the money.
How about this one? Last time it happened in New England, at least I think the last time it happened in New England, Aaron Hernandez and Chad Johnson.
Hmm.
Wow.
Two guys I'm sure the Patriots are thrilled to remember.
Chad Johnson wanted that Ocho Cinco.
He obviously did. So he signed with the Pats in 2011, and obviously he had changed his name, I think, at that point to Ocho Cinco, or was like in the works?
No, it was already. It was Ocho Cinco when he was in Cincinnati.
No, was that his name? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. That was his name. So obviously he kind of needed that. Hernandez gave him the number for nothing.
Wow.
And Hernandez was quoted as saying, quote, I obviously could have said, no, I don't want to give it up, but I'm not that type of person. Wow.
Who knew?
Moral of the story,
let's go back to that line for just a moment, if we can.
Turns out, good guy.
No one ever brings that up in the Hernandez story.
Nobody talks about that. Ocho Cinco wasn't in the documentary like you were, Wiggy.
He should have been in there.
Both those guys fighting over your old number.
Yeah.
That was the Wiggy 85.
I would have took $500 for it. You want it, it's yours.
when we finally get the complete and total story, and Godwin's doing a bunch of interviews now, so we'll get the whole thing. My guess is Godwin just simply said, you know what? He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. I'm happy to give it up.
No, I don't think he asked him for a thing.
So my guess is, yeah, he didn't ask for anything. And then down the road, Brady's going to buy him like a crazy watch.
He might.
Or like something,
yep.
something
I don't want
crazy
your watch, man. I want your cash.
Godwin's also in a contract year. So don't you think he said to Brady, hey, just throw me the ball a couple extra times.
I'll we'll make my money back.
Yeah, you don't have to pay me a dime. They'll do it for you.
Yep.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Brady Week continues on this program with Ty Law coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.